You're listening to a podcast from 702.
You're with Clement Maniatella.
702.
So there are some South Africans that have been selling their identities to undocumented foreigners. And the Minister of Home Affairs is now warning that those who do so could lose their status in the country to be replaced by the foreign nationals. I'll get the minister to explain what that means. But in many instances, you've got many like Home Affairs officials colluding with undocumented foreigners so that they could fraudulently obtain SA citizenship. And there are Home Affairs officials that have been suspended over this, but I'm sure you agree more needs to be done. Let's bring in Dr. Aaron Motsoaledi now, who is the Minister of Home Affairs. Minister, thank you for making time. Good morning.
Good morning, Clement. Good morning to the listeners. Thank you very much for having me.
I'm hoping that the line is going to be better as we continue, Minister, because it was breaking a little bit there in the beginning. I want you to first please explain what happens when Clement sells his identity to an undocumented foreigner. When you say I may or I will lose my status, what does that mean?
I'm talking about that scam which was run by Pakistani MP, who was arrested on the 24th of March in our Kruger stop.
Oh, Minister, I apologize there. I have to stop it there. I'm putting you back to the producers. The line is terrible. It really is. So let's try and fix that line, and then I'll bring in the Minister, Aaron Motsoaledi, back on the radio. You lose your status if you sell your identity to an undocumented foreigner. So I want the Minister to tell us how it works and what they're doing as the Department of Home Affairs to try and clamp down on this. Because often it's the Home Affairs officials themselves that are colluding with these fraudsters. So what is being done to try and strengthen that system and to bring in even investigators so that this trend is stopped? Let's try that line again with Dr. Motsoaledi. Minister, I hope it's much better now.
Let's hope so.
Oh, yes.
I was hearing you very well, Clement. If you are complaining on your side, on my side, everything is
No, it's perfect now, Minister. So don't move an inch.
Okay.
Yeah, don't move an inch. So you were still explaining. So when someone sells their status to an undocumented foreigner, how do they lose their status? Does it mean they're no longer citizens of this country?
No, this is what I meant, Clement. What I was talking specifically about the passport scam, which was conducted by a Pakistani kingpin. What he does, he recruits South Africans, mostly those who may never apply for a passport in their life. That means he identifies people who might not like to leave the country or who might have no need to leave the country. And then they go to a Home Affairs office at night. They choose a Home Affairs office where the official is colluding with them. That means it's part of the scam. When they arrive there, they meet the Pakistani or Somali nationals. Those are the ones we caught up to so far. That's why I'm quoting them specifically. Then the South African is asked to apply for a passport.
Mm.
When you apply for a passport, you write your name, your ID. You even take the fingerprint, Clement. Now, when it is time to take the photo, they push you aside. The Pakistani national takes your photo. Now, all the details are Clement Maniatella.
Oh.
But the photo, yes, but the photo is not yours. Now, the problem, Clement, which the people who do that do not know, is that we are no longer taking photos in the old way. You remember the small photos which used to be in your ID?
Mm.
Our photos are now digitized. And the system works in such a way that when you take a new photo, all the photos in the National Population Register that belongs to you are wiped out and the new photo takes over.
Mm, I see.
Even for you, Clement, you have got an ID. If your passport expires and you go to take a new passport, we are going to take you a photo and it's going to be a digital photo. Now, once we take you that photo, it replaces all your previous photos and the most current one is the one that takes over. Now imagine if the current one is not yours. It means you have been wiped off. You don't exist. Mm. And usually these people discover it when they go to the banks. When you go to the banks nowadays, they no longer look at the hard copy of an ID you are having. they get into the system because they are connected to our national population register. And the photo that appears there is not yours. So mm-hmm. they will refuse to serve you.
Yeah.
And say, no, yeah, but this is not you. One of the ladies who did that is a security officer. Now, security officers have to renew their certificate to be security with CIRA. Nobody in this country can practice as a security officer without a certificate from CIRA, which is renewable. Now, she did the same thing of selling an ID, then her certificate as a security officer was expiring. She went on to renew it. And when CIRA got into the National Population Register, they found a different photo and they said, no, sorry, this is not you. We can't renew our certificate. So when I say people will lose their status, I mean exactly that.
Sure. Yeah, my goodness, and there can be consequences to that. I know that the public has been playing an important role in alerting you as the department of this corruption happening. How do people report corrupt officials in their community? So if they pick up that this is what's happening in their home affairs centers, in their communities, how do they report that?
Well, they report it in various ways. We have got a hotline for the counter-corruption unit. We've got our spokespersons. Some actually, for some reason, know my number. They actually send me WhatsApp messages. Mm-hmm. They tell you straight that this is happening here and there. Please, Minister, I don't want to expose myself for now. I'm anonymous. Others write anonymous letters to the department via email. We've got a lot of those which we receive almost every day.
Okay.
And but others phone me directly and yeah. say, look, I'm not afraid. I'm so and so, and I'm telling you, go to such and such a place. This is what you'll find.
Mm-hmm. Obviously, there's a lot you need to do then as the department. There's a need to beef up investigators and I imagine analysts responsible for tracking, investigating corruption and fraud in the department. What are you doing to try and build in these protection measures so that it's not so easy for this to be done?
Yeah, precisely. We are the only government department that has got a counter-corruption unit, which is at the level of a DDG, at the level of a branch. Other departments will have a director, maybe a chief director. We have got a whole deputy director general, meaning second in charge in the department, who is responsible for that counter-corruption. Now, they don't only investigate corruption. They investigate our systems and analyze them and give an advice and say, look, this system should no longer work like this because it becomes easy to be defrauded. Now, what we are doing now, which I mentioned in my budget speech, we are going to hire 12 extra people. The counter-corruption unit consists of 18 people, including the DDG. We are now 18, 12 who are analyst investigators, and they are the ones who will be doing that type of work you are talking about.
Mm.
But even the 13 who are there are trying it, but want those who are experts in that field, and we'll hire them from the law enforcement agencies because they've already got experience.
Uh-huh, I see. It's 17 minutes after 10 o'clock. Minister, I've got questions coming from the listeners around this issue. After the break, I'm going to go to some calls and play some WhatsApp voice notes.
You're with Clement Maniatella.
702. Let's walk the talk.
It's 20 minutes after 10 o'clock. Dr. Aaron Motsoaledi is the Minister of Home Affairs, speaking to us about what really is a shocking phenomenon. It's not just happening now. It's been happening over time where South Africans are selling their identities to undocumented foreigners. And sometimes they do so not understanding the consequences of their actions. I see your questions coming through. Let's start with Max in Naturena. Max, hi.
Hi, Clement. How are you?
Shab Zero, how's it?
I'm good, man. I just wanted to ask the minister, because the line that he's given us is the hotline for reporting fraudulent activity. My question is, there's many of us in this country that work with people or are in communication with people who we 100% know are foreign nationals. However, they're in possessions of, say, for instance, I know my friend is a Zimbabwean national, but he has a South African ID.
Yeah.
So how do you report stuff like that, and how do you stay anonymous in those cases?
Yeah.
Because you would, in that case, have personal details of somebody, and you'd know their address,
yeah,
et cetera.
Yeah. Oh, great question, Max. Thank you for calling. Dr. Motsoaledi, is there a tip of line?
let's do this, Clement. Let me get the phone number of the caller of Max, and then put him in touch with Sia, my spokesperson. They will actually advise him on what to do.
Okay. We'll ask Sia to also just give us the line, because I think there are probably other people listening to us who may come across it and they want to report it, and then we'll give the listeners feedback on that hotline. Let's take some of the voice notes as well, questions coming through the voice note line.
Hey, hello, Clement. Can you please ask Dr. Aaron Motsoaledi there, what's going to happen to those who...
Oh, that stopped. Let's continue with that.
...who were sold a fraudulent document? Because I understand some officials were arrested. So what's going to happen to those who received them? Are they just going to let them go just like that? Or are they going to be hunted and then they must get those documents back because they are fraudulent? I just want to know if those who obtained them, they're just going to keep them forever, or what's going to happen? Lethlaonolo Mofokeng, Boksburg.
All right, Lethlaonolo, thanks for that. I'll get the minister to respond shortly. Let's hear another one.
Morning, Clement. Can you ask the Minister of Home Affairs first, is it a criminal offence to sell identity document to someone? If so, then we'll agree with him. I think he's right for consequences to follow to someone who has sold his or her identity to a foreign national or to somebody else from Botswana or even in South Africa, because I believe you can sell your identity to somebody else. There are men who are sharing their names and surnames here in South Africa.
Really? Wow. Okay. Dr. Motsoaledi, one question about the criminal offense of selling your information, and another question around those that receive these fraudulent documents and what's happening to them.
Let me start with those who receive the fraudulent document. You realize that when we arrested the Pakistani kingpin in our offices during the night of the 24th of March in our Krugerstorp offices, we arrested those South Africans who were there to sell their IDs. We arrested them. They are now out on bail. We also arrested the foreign nationals who were going to acquire those identities, and many of them were refused bail. So and then we retrieve those documents, and then we go on and search. We are in a process of searching these documents. It's easier now, Clement, unlike in the past where people used to use a password to issue a document on our computers. And they were cheating us with the password. Now, that system of the password no longer applies to Home Affairs. We use a system called BACAM, Biometric Access Control Movement, meaning you go into the system with your fingerprint. So if one official was caught once, we get into the system and check all the documents he has issued and come back, I mean, bring them back and investigate them. And if all of them were issued fraudulently, we obviously cancel them. So, yes, we are in the process of doing that. They can't keep them. You can't keep a fraudulent document. The second issue, is it an offense to sell your ID? Of course, it is an offense. That's why we are arresting South Africans. And I mentioned last week that we are still on course to arrest even more. There are many more who are going to arrest all over the country, especially in six provinces, who sold their IDs. Because what they have done is a criminal offense.
Mm-hmm. Another listener, David, is asking, isn't the problem here that you still have people who use the old ID documents? Are there any plans to phase out these?
We are phasing it out, Clement. Remember, the new ID, the smart card, started in 2018. Now, when it started, there were 39 million South Africans who were holding the old barcoded ID, you know, the green booklet.
Mm.
There were 39 million of them who had to migrate to the new barcoded ID. In addition, every year, any child who turns 16 need an ID. So you have got 39 million people, but you have got an addition every year. So it was sort of a moving target. And unfortunately, because the smart ID can only be produced by a modernized office. Not every office, so quite a number of offices in rural areas don't have the modernized equipment to produce that ID. So
yeah,
we are only able to produce 3 million of smart IDs per annum.
Yeah.
Now you can imagine having to clear a backlog of 39 million, but also, those who are turning 16 that year. So what we are doing, we are in conversation with the banks because we want all the banks to participate in this, where you can take an ID from the banks so that we have got many platforms where you issue the smart ID. Yes, the banks were enthusiastic because they said if all their clients carry the smart ID, not the green barcoded, not the green barcoded booklet, they said it will save them 50 million rand per annum in identity fraud.
Yeah, but is there going to be a time when, as government, you say in 2025 or in 2030, those barcoded IDs, those green books, are not going to be viable anymore?
That time is not yet now.
It's not there.
Because
okay.
I'll tell you why. Because we have got 412 offices. Only 197 of those can issue the barcoded ID. The others can't. And what are we waiting for? The Minister of Telecommunication and New Technologies has just announced what he calls South Africa Connect, where they are going to connect schools, clinics, police station all over the country. And they will do so even with Home Affairs officials. Once everything is connected, even in far rural areas, then we are able to modernize that office. And once all our offices are modernized, then we'll make a date and say there's no more excuse not to have a smart ID. So we'll put a deadline and say by this time you should have changed. Of course, that deadline is important because I've met quite a number of elderly people who keep the old ID. When I asked them why didn't they come and apply for a new one, they said no, that thing is too small to keep. They prefer the booklet because
our gogos. Yeah.
Yes,
okay.
Just that. Yes.
Yeah. Lastly, Minister, we have only 50 seconds. I want you to give us an update on that actress from London who arrived in the country without a visa to attend a party that was hosted by billionaire Rob Hevos. And when she wasn't allowed in, she lied and said she was here to seek asylum from Ukraine. What's happened to her? My understanding is she was deported back to her home country. What's the latest on that?
Yeah, she's actually from Lithuania. She was not from London.
Mm-hmm.
The person who's from London is the millionaire who staged a party which she was coming from. Yes, but otherwise she's from Lithuania. And I saw quite a number of people in the media, they were saying it's a Russian actress. We don't know about that. From a country called Lithuania. Now, because she lied and said she's going to apply for asylum, what she didn't know was that when you lie at the port of entry or at the border and say you are going to apply for asylum, if you have got a passport, we take it until you apply, which is what happened. Then after the party, she now wanted to go back home and now suddenly realized she doesn't have a passport. So she rushed to the High Court to report that, freedom of movement and all these things that people report, which they believe South African courts will always be in their favor. And the court dismissed her. She then came later to say, no, I want to apologize. I was misled to apply for asylum.
Yeah.
I was misled by lawyers, and I'm apologizing. We then said, okay, write a formal apology, which will be an order of court, the apology to Home Affairs, to the Minister of Home Affairs, and to the South African public, because it is their laws you breached. But secondly, pay for everything that happened.
Yeah.
These court cases you subjected us to, you are going to pay every single cent for it, including our lawyers. Thirdly, we are declaring you a persona non grata in South Africa for 5 years, meaning you are a forbidden person to visit South Africa for the 5 years. And after 5 years, you have got to apply for that status to be lifted.
Ah, great.
So those are the three things which happened. Then we said, if those are done, then we can deport you back to your home because we can't keep you here against your will.
Yeah, and I've heard that the party that she was attending, apparently some of your comrades were there, Minister.
No. I saw it in Soweto.
Yeah.
I said prominent political figures.
Hey.
And it was in News 24. And those political figures are not in government. I saw in Soweten that they said no. These are government officials. I
yeah.
said prominent political figures.
Okay.
There are political figures in and out of government, and I can show you. According to News 24 articles, I was not there reading that article.
Mm.
The people who attended are definitely not in government.
All right. Dr. Aaron Motsoaledi, Home Affairs Minister, thanks for making time. It's just after 10:30.